Turn with me to Proverbs 5:15. Proverbs 5:15. This study in Proverbs, we've been going at for about 2 years now, although we took some breaks in between, and it is taking longer than I thought it would, but I figure I'm 38. If the Lord tarries and I don't die an early death, I probably have at least 30 more years in the ministry, or 40. So I got time. So we'll get through it. You guys, some of you might not. You might not live to the end of it, Bev. But when you get to heaven, you can sit down with Solomon, and he can go through all of it with you. So you'll get it. Okay, so Proverbs 5:15 says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well." So Solomon had given us a warning here about the dangers of the strange woman and adultery with her, and he did so in the beginning, this up until now in this chapter. This is what he's been doing as we've been stepping through. And now in verses 15 through 19, he gives the antidote to the strange woman's temptation, and that is marriage and having your own wife. I'm going to read a comment here from Matthew Henry that he made commenting on Proverbs 5:15 through 23. And I'll be reading a little bit of John Gill also in for these next two verses here. They had some pretty good things to say, I thought. Matthew Henry said, "Solomon here enlarges much upon this, not only prescribing it as an antidote, but urging it as an argument against fornication, that the allowed pleasures of marriage, however wicked wits may ridicule them, who are factors for the unclean spirit, far transcend all the false forbidden pleasures of whoredom." Now, there's a parenthetical clause in there. I'm going to read it without the parenthetical clause, and it'll make a lot more sense. Solomon here enlarges much upon this, not only prescribing it as an antidote, but urging it as an argument against fornication, that the allowed pleasures of marriage far transcend all the false forbidden pleasures of whoredom. That makes a lot more sense. I don't know, that parenthetical clause was not necessary and did not help to make his point clear, I don't think. But anyway, he's been dead for a few hundred years, and I probably can't tell him what I thought about it, so we'll just move on. So anyway, he's saying here that marriage is the antidote to the pleasures of whoredom, and it far transcends them. So Solomon here is using poetic language. When he says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern," this is poetic language telling us that a man should get his sexual fulfillment from his wife, from his own cistern, as it were. We read there in 18 through 20, he expands upon it a bit. He says, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" So we kind of get an idea of what the running waters, drinking waters out of thine own cistern, is whenever we continue reading down there those few verses.
Is it hind or hind?
Hind. It's hind. I've said it wrong my entire life until Judy corrected me here a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I can't. You get one. Yeah, you got one point on your side anyway. Yes. I will probably mess that up forever. But. Okay, so drink waters out of thine own cistern. A cistern is an artificial reservoir for the storage of water, especially a watertight tank in a high part of a building, whence the taps in various parts of it are supplied. So a long time ago, before they had pumps and you could have pressurized water, they would have a cistern, a great big tank, on top of the roof of the house, or maybe even on stilts, raising it up off the roof of the house, so that you could get as much gravity as possible. And then they would have pipes coming off of that down to taps, and that's where they would get their running water. So this is what Solomon is making reference to here, is a cistern, which every man would have his own cistern, and you'd get water out of your own cistern. In those days, if you happened to walk over to across your roof to your neighbor's house and welded a pipe onto his cistern and started taking water out of his cistern, that would not have been taken lightly, I'm sure. You don't drink water out of somebody else's cistern, you stick to your own. So the waters in one's own cistern, which God has provided, are fresh, and they're always in good supply. what sinners have a tendency to do is want to forsake God, who is called the fountain of living waters, and his provision for their needs, like needs in marriage, and they like to hew out their own cisterns, and those cisterns typically are broken and they don't hold much water, and that's why they end up probably going to somebody else's cistern. Look at Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah 2, 13. God here is called the fountain of living waters. So naturally, what flows from God are his blessings, which meet our necessities. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." So typically, whenever we go about things on our own, in our own way, and we don't do things God's way, we end up with problems. Broken cisterns, no water. And a man who forsakes the wife that God has given him and goes after a strange woman has done the same thing, and he will end up with a broken and dry cistern in the end. And that's what happens, unfortunately, to a lot of marriages. Whenever you don't do it God's way and you don't obey God's commandments, then it ends up being a broken cistern and there is no water in it. And you go looking to somebody else's cistern. I'm going to read here a comment from John Gill. This was on Proverbs 5:15, the verse we're looking at. He says, "Arguments being used to dissuade from conversation with an adulterous woman, taken from the disgrace, diseases, poverty, and distress of mind on reflection it brings to a man." That's the things that we read about there in Proverbs 5 so far, with their honor given to others, and thy years to the cruel, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and body and flesh are consumed. That's what he's referring to there. "The wise man proceeds to direct to marriage as a proper antidote against it. Take a wife and cleave to her and enjoy all the pleasures and comforts of a marriage state. As every man formerly had his own cistern for the reception of water for his own use, 2 Kings 18:31, so every man should have his own wife, and but one. And as drinking water quenches thirst and allays heat, so the lawful enjoyments of the marriage bed quench the thirst of appetite and allay the heat of lust. For which reason the apostle advises men to marry and not burn, 1 Corinthians 7:9. And a man that is married should be content with his own wife and not steal waters out of another cistern." So I thought he said that pretty well. By the way, how many of you knew beforehand what it meant to drink waters out of their own cistern? Did you know what that was referring to? Okay, so some of you did. Okay. All right, good. Well, the next part of it, I'll be interested to know if you know what that meant, because there's some things coming up here that were new to me. I learned some things going through this, and I always love it whenever I'm doing a study and I'm not just kind of rehashing out things that I've already learned, but that I'm learning new things as I'm doing the study. And I'm ahead into Proverbs 6 now, and I learned some really interesting things here in the beginning of Proverbs 6, which will be neat to get to here in a few weeks. Okay, so let's get to the second part of that verse then. "And running waters out of thine own well." So running waters are elsewhere called living waters in the Bible. If you look at John 7 and verse 38, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a fountain of living waters. John 7 and verse 38. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Living, when referred to, when speaking of water, is constantly flowing, also refreshing. So when the Bible talks about living water, it's referring to non-stagnant water. So water in a stream or a river would be living water, or water in a spring that's continually running out of the earth, that's living water, whereas water in a mud puddle is dead water, I guess you'd say, not living. Running waters are a poetic description of a wife's love. If you look in Song of Solomon 4:15, I will be making reference to Song of Solomon here several times in the next few verses, because it is a book about love. So much so, there's so much graphic material in there, I'm going to spare you most of it, but it's so that book is so graphic that there are, I think it was Jewish rabbis, or it was somebody a long time ago thought that this book should not even be read in worship at all because it was so graphic. But of course, that's nonsense. The whole law was to be read to Israel every 7 years, man, woman, and child. So every word of God is pure, and to say that it shouldn't be read publicly is nonsense. Song of Solomon 4 and verse 15. This is Solomon speaking of his wife. He says, "A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, the streams from Lebanon." So that's how he describes his wife, as a well of living waters. Now compare this with the whore. Whereas a wife is a well of running water, living water, a whore is a deep ditch in a narrow pit. That's an interesting comparison. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 27. Proverbs 23:27. It says, "For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." So just think about a well full of fresh, clean, cool, refreshing water. Right? That sounds great, especially on a hot summer day. That's a wonderful thing. If you could find fresh, clean, flowing water out of a well, you'd be a happy man. Now, compare that and just think about a ditch with stagnant, muddy, nasty water in it. You see the picture there? You see the difference? That's the difference between a godly wife and a strange woman, right? And a whore. One is fresh and clean and cool and refreshing. The other one will kill you and make you really sick before she kills you. So living water is fresh and refreshing. And a man's sex life with a godly wife should never become stagnant or stale. It should be a fountain of living waters. Marital monogamous sex should only get better as time goes on. This is, a lot of people don't probably agree with this, a lot of fornicators don't agree with this, but married people have the best sex, or at least they should. And, you know, a lot of people would think, oh, that's impossible. You're just stuck with the same person. It's just the same thing over and over again. And that's not true. It shouldn't be that way. Well, it should be the same person over and over again, but it shouldn't be that it would get old and boring. And, you know, there's something wrong if that's the case. If sex is no longer enjoyable for both partners, then you need to talk to somebody. You need to get some help. Because something's wrong, and what will happen is if that continues for a long time, one of the partners may go search for another well, and you don't want that to happen, of course. I'll read here from Matthew Henry again. He said, "Let him that is married take delight in his wife, and let him be very fond of her, not only because she is the wife that he himself has chosen and he ought to be pleased with his own choice, but because she is the wife that God in his providence appointed for him, and he ought much more to be pleased with the divine appointment, pleased with her because she is his own." So, yeah, I mean, I think he gives two reasons to be satisfied with your wife. Number one, you chose her, and number two, God chose her for you. So every man should be thankful and happy for the wife that he has. And anybody that's stupid enough to think that, oh, I just wish I had a different wife because it would be better, the grass isn't greener on the other side, right? It's every marriage has problems. Every couple is going to have fights and squabbles and things that irritate each other about them, and you just have to make those things work. It's jumping ship and going with somebody else rarely ever works. There is the occasional person that does that, and then they end up married to the second person for forever, but usually not. Usually when they jump ship, they end up jumping ship again because, right, the problem isn't solved just by switching partners. Okay, so that takes care of Proverbs 5 and verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. So go only to your own wife for your needs, is what he's teaching us.